God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series through Jonah, and the insert on your bulletin with the Bible passages has the section of text for today. As Jonah receives his second call, this is the time in which Jonah has now just exited the fish, and it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." This is our text. Last week we were picking up the theme, death and resurrection, and how Jonah in one essence had to die to himself and rise again. That death and resurrection was picked up with, in one essence, him being in the belly of the large fish. He had to die to his own sense of pride and be renewed. The title of today's message is New Management. Picking up on that same concept now, what happens after we are renewed? Now, I don't know how many of you have ever frequented a particular restaurant that had to close for a period of time, remodel, and then open up anew, under a new manager, you know, with new people, new menu. Again, what was going on? Probably something was broken, something just wasn't going right. They decided to fix, revamp, and try something new. Well, in one essence, that's exactly what's happening with Jonah. Jonah needs to be fixed. He was fixed by God's gracious act. And now he is being renewed. In one essence for us, this also correlates in our own daily lives with baptism. Something was broken within us, that is our sinful nature, sin within us, and now we need to be renewed. New management, so to speak, which comes from the Holy Spirit, the gift of God, through the baptismal waters. So now what happens to Jonah now that he is renewed? Please note what God doesn't do. God does not tell Jonah, "I told you so." God does not say to Jonah, "You should have done this the first time. If you had only listened to me the first time, you wouldn't have been put in this position." But no, God just purely gives his grace. Not even a little bit of a note of sarcasm. Where was the sarcasm? If you remember the first sermon, Jonah and had son of Amittai, which means faithfulness, that truthfulness, which was his father. Not even that. Notice the absence of that father. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ isn't going anywhere near sarcasm. And so the reference to Jonah's own father is now absent. This is also a beautiful parallel to baptism. Yes, we have biological fathers. Not a problem with that. But when we are baptized, we are now adopted by God's grace into a new family. And we have a new heavenly father. God picks up a similar theme. No sarcasm here. Nothing about your family background here. Just pure grace. Pure gospel message. That of a loving God saying, "Okay, Jonah, here, you need to go to Nineveh and tell them the words that I'm going to give you." How many times does God work this way? Yes, we do have a God of second chances, so to speak. Remember Peter. Remember Paul. Remember most of us. How many times in our own lives have we screwed up our own life with sin and disobedience? But yet God is still gracious to continue his call to us. So what is Jonah to do? Speak not his word, but God's word. Plain, simple, to the point, right? Jonah, we'd find out in 2 weeks, is going to take that really plain, simple, to the point. But that's in 2 weeks from now. We have to remember that the message that should be coming from all pulpits should always be the message of God's word, not the prophet's word, not the pastor's word, not your word. Here's the problem, though. As we live in today's society, we're always wanting to gravitate toward those that talk like us, speak words that we want to hear. But please notice that the words that Jonah would be given were not words that the people of Nineveh really want to hear. That Nineveh is going to be destroyed, be consumed. That's joyful, isn't it? But those are the words. That is the message of God. And I will admit, as a pastor, that's always the tough part. You know, fair enough, we all want to be people pleasers. But what happens when that message of the law must come out? You know, who's also in a very tough situation like this? What do you do with police officers who have to enforce the law? You know, behind the badge, behind the uniform, is probably a very caring individual. But yet, at certain times, they have to come across with the law, which makes their position sometimes not so popular. So it is with prophets. By the way, most Old Testament prophets were killed. So it is also with pastors. Fortunately, we don't carry that theme from the Old Testament to the present time. But let me continue on with my text. Even in the midst of our failure, God is always there with a second chance. And who wouldn't want a second chance? To be fair, if I'm in the middle of a golf game and I take the ball and I hit it into the water, one of my favorite phrases is, remember your baptism, and I just baptized that ball, but I want what's called a mulligan, another opportunity and a second chance. Sometimes I take a few more second chances than I deserve. But so it is with us in our lives. In the midst of our disobedience, we want that second chance. When we fail to hear God's word, when we fail to do what God wants us to do, that simple, clear message. And so we have to beg the question here. What is the simple, clear message that God wants us to do? Since I'm using this concept of new management, we've also been baptized. We've also been redeemed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so what is it that God wants us to do? It was easy for Jonah. Just go back and do what God told you to do. It's also easy for us. Go back and do what God told you to do. And you might be thinking, well, what did God tell me to do? It might have been a little easier with Jonah because there might have been divine revelation. But for us, we might be thinking, what is God calling me to do? Notice our first hymn. Even though we haven't sung it before, it focused on something called vocation. And vocation means, where has God placed you in your life? Luther brings this up. He basically says, are you a husband? Then be a good husband. Are you a father? Be a good father. If you're a wife, be a good wife. If a mother, be a good mother. Be a good citizen. God has placed you each in different places. In your family, in your community, even in your place of employment. So do the best where God has placed you. But too often, when we get to this new management type concept, you know, when restaurants reopen and say under new management, they usually have this grand festival. And in the midst of that festival attracts lots of people. And the first thing they want to know is, well, what's new? What's different? Where's the pizzazz? But God, working with us and new management, has a different way of doing it. There's not so much the triumph and trumpets, but there is a new creation within us. We may still be doing the exact same thing we should have been doing before, but please notice the word should have and failed to do so. Like Jonah, God said, I have called you to whatever position I have placed you in. You've screwed up. I have redeemed you, and guess what? I want you to go and do it exactly the way you should have done it the first time. Now, he doesn't necessarily reprimand Jonah that way, but the words are there to Jonah. Go and do. Go to Nineveh. The words are also there for us. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, well, what's God's will in my life? Plain and simple, what tasks has God given you? But sometimes our sinful nature wants to say, well, isn't there more? Shouldn't we be doing more? Shouldn't we be doing something really grand and spectacular? And the answer is no. What has God placed you? Where has God placed you? What are you supposed to be doing? And can you be content with that? That's where our sinful nature comes in. Can we be content with God's gift of mercy? Can we be content with the family that God has given to us? Can we be content with the vocation that God has placed us in? Or do we want something more, something different? Hence, Jonah wanted to go to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And that's where Jonah's depression kicked in. So God had to use the storm, he had to use the fish to show Jonah God's mercy. Even in the midst of our major screw-ups, God is merciful. Even within the midst of our rebellion from within us and saying, you know, I don't always want to be that faithful person. I don't always want to be that good employee. I don't always want to be that good citizen. God says, here's grace and mercy. New management for ourselves. Every day when we wake up, we have to ask ourselves, can we forgive ourselves for our own mistakes? Or do they haunt us like they were haunting Jonah with his depression? We usually want second chances, do we not? Except for when we're pushing away from God because we just don't like where God has placed us. Or we want something new and different. And God has to use his grace and mercy, like with the storm and the fish, for Jonah to settle him down. What about others? Can we forgive others? When they sin, when they're disobedient, when they operate outside their vocation and we get hurt, can we offer them the same second chance the way our Lord and Savior offers us second chances, offers us new management? And with the last question, how does God use his grace and mercy to get our attention? Can we see how God is trying to work that new management within us each and every day on a daily basis? Martin Luther brings part of this up when he says, every day, and before you go to bed, he had a morning and evening prayer. In his evening prayer, he said, I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Luther very much knew the whole concept of new management and second chances. He knew very clearly in this prayer that he confessed his sins and asking for God's grace. He also knew where his grace would come from. He commends himself to God and his care, and he says, let your holy angels be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. He uses the same conclusion in the morning prayer. Because in the morning, he would thank God for his grace for delivering him through the night, and grace to keep him from sin each and every day. Knowing that, yes, each and every day we fall short of God's glory, but each and every day there is new management that comes from God himself, who says, through Christ, you are a new creation. You are restored. You are given that gift of faith. You are forgiven. So this day we thank and praise the God of all mercies, that he sends Jonah back to his vocation, back to his job that he's supposed to do, back to Nineveh, proclaim that message. And may God also do the same thing for us, to renew and refresh us through his word and sacraments, so that this day when we leave Trinity, we also can go back to our vocations, going back to where God has placed us, renewed and refreshed, being forgiven and willing to forgive. Yes, God's grace and mercy is wonderful. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.